It's the Brouhaha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
Herlinda's here, and of course, my co-host on Brouhaha, Mr. Mark Carpenter.
How are you doing?
Good to see you, buddy. Over 40 years brewing at Anchor in San Francisco.
Correct.
Unbelievable.
Incredible. It was a great career.
Yeah, no kidding. He is retired. He's riding at horses.
That's his horses in Petaluma.
You look pretty happy there, Mark.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Even though beer is fun, being retired, I think, is probably, no matter what it is, it's probably good.
I appreciate you fighting the traffic up from Petaluma every Thursday.
As long as it remains fun, and there's always some beer involved.
Yeah, of course. Also, the return of the homebrew chef, Sean Paxton, is back with us. Sean, good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
Hello.
Tell everyone what it is you do and how you got there.
In 30 words or less.
Yeah, you can.
So I basically have been cooking with beer for over 24 years now.
Wow.
And I've always loved it, and there wasn't a whole lot of cookbooks back in the day about it. And so I've kind of been a part of the whole cooking with beer and beer cuisine scene, I guess. It's been real fun because all these cookbooks talk about cooking with wine, but, you know, cooking with beer is different because, you know, it's not just grapes and, you know, with hops and malt and yeast, and depending if it was barrel-aged or soured and what kind of yeast or yeasts, depending. It's a lot of fun to look at beer and how you can pair with it, how you can cook with it, how you can use it as an ingredient. And now I'm actually making a new hot sauce in collaboration with Humboldt Hot Sauce called Eat Beer Hot Sauce that actually uses Anderson Valley's oatmeal stout as a base.
I heard about this.
And we basically are making a mole, or a NorCal mole is what we're calling it. And it's a hot sauce, which I think we should all try.
Yeah, so. And we're going to...
How hot is it?
On a scale of 1 to 10, it's about 6 to a 7. Mm-hmm. It does have the Carolina Reaper in it, which is the hottest pepper in the world right now.
Oh, God.
But yeah, we tone it down with some habaneros.
Well, hopefully my... Oh, yeah. Tone it down with habaneros.
And poblanos, you know.
Hopefully my doctor is not listening because she would not want me to try this.
Did she say you're, like, super healthy right now, though?
Yeah, she said I'm pretty healthy.
It's actually, it's really good. It's full of vitamin C. There's actually a ton of vitamin C in that. So,
Mark.
It's got a great aroma, too. You may want to give it a whiff.
Back in the day,
yes,
at Anchor with you and Fritz Maytag and... Did you guys talk about cooking with beer, or was that just not
We were mainly just making beer,
yeah.
And it was funny, though, it you know, early on, it wasn't too long before people like Sean started to get into cooking with beer, you know, and it was nice. I've known Sean for forever.
Yeah, and it's like Anchor Porter. I have to tell you, I love cooking with Anchor Porter. Mm-hmm. What it can do to a marinade, to a cake, to pretty much anything that you use it in, because if you like that roasty, lots of hints of chocolate, and I mean, it's just that porter is just such a beautiful balance, and it's always been like that one. It's the go-to because
thank you. I agree with you. I think it's a delicious beer.
Yeah,
doesn't get near the credit. I thank you for saying that.
And it's, you know, I mean, I've done on my website. I actually have a whole Anchor section, and you can see all the recipes that use it because. It's beautiful.
One thing I like about beer and food, though, is I think that yes, you can pair it and you can get one that goes along or contrast. But,
yeah, that I understand.
But I think beer can be more like champagne, where you can drink champagne with anything. You can drink beer with just about anything. You know, you don't have to worry about making a big issue of what beer you should have with what.
A faux pas. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And cheeses and stuff, too.
Herlinda?
Let's talk about the brews news, the things that are going on. It's time to talk about the elephant in the room.
Hey, you don't have to talk about me.
And I invited Sean in also, too, because he knows a lot about both these subjects that we're going to be talking about, as well as Mark, and kind of a consortium of some of our, not necessarily our opinions, but some, you know, some thoughts. Let's talk about so Rate Beer, Joe Tucker, who was our co-host before for 3.5 years, and he's up in Portland now. He moved there with his family. We had the Rate Beer Festival. That was a big thing here in Santa Rosa for a couple of years, and they'd been doing the Rate Beer Best for about 13 years online of the top 100 beers and breweries and pubs, et cetera, in the world. And we, you know, part of the brews news, when we started doing the brews news, the big news every week was about AB InBev, which is basically, for our list, you know, our layman's listeners is Budweiser, that had been going around, you know, snatching up craft breweries, you know, Goose Island and Elysian up in Seattle. They bought the
Wicked Weed.
Wicked Weed. That's a big one. That's
huge,
really recent.
Very
we haven't even had a chance to talk about that one yet. And they bought the biggest homebrew supply,
Northern Brewers
in actually I think the world,
Golden Rose.
Yeah, and everybody's been up in arms, and they're the bad guys and stuff. Well, Joe Tucker announced on his Rapier page and on his page that AB InBev has invested 40. Well, he didn't put the percentage, but I know the percentage. It's 49% in investment into Rate Beer.
Really?
So here's the big Budweiser.
So now Joe is rich?
I don't know about that, but
I got to go up to Portland and ask him for some money.
He's better off than he was.
Yeah, wow.
But people are all upset. People in breweries are all upset because they're, you sold out, you sell out. People are questioning his integrity.
They're not saying that about Tony McGee, who sold everything to Heineken.
Oh, they're saying that about Tony, too. Unfortunately, I'm not.
I'm not either.
Yeah, I'm not. But you know, it depends. Yeah,
I wish I could get Heineken to buy the drive. I'd sell it.
Lagunitas just has enough money now that they might want to invest in the drive. Maybe I'll work on that.
Yeah,
so
please do.
People were upset because the bigger deal with this than buying a brewery, he didn't sell all of Rate Beer. It's an investment, and but they're upset because if they think that you know, AB InBev, Budweiser is going to change the ratings to favor themselves more. But Rate Beer is user driven.
Right. Yeah,
it's like Yelp.
That's BS.
Yeah, it's like it's like Yelp, and then a big brewery, Sam Calagione from Dogfish Head, which is a pretty big craft brewery. He got on the wrote a letter and said, Rate Beer, Joe Tucker, I want you to take my beers off of the Rate Beer page.
Oh boy!
And all the user reviews and everything. But the thing is that Rate Beer doesn't put the beers on the page. It's the users,
right?
It's the drinkers. It's the
so even if they pay Joe a bunch of money, he's not going to be doing anything.
And
it's
they haven't
the users.
And this may inspire Budweiser's brewmasters to make beers that'll get on the Rate Beer page.
Yes.
I mean, it's an interesting demographic which they're getting because they get now access to resources and data about how beers have been rated. And it's a very interesting thing. Yeah.
Although Joe sent me some notes, told him we were going to be talking about this. Oh, and then with the other thing that Sam Calagione said from Dogfish Head, and actually Bear Republic said the same thing. They asked him to take it down afterwards. That's take their reviews down. And what they did is they cited journalistic conflict of interest. But
that's not possible if it's only users.
Yes. So Rate Beer has been pointed out, and also just like Yelp, in the Supreme Court and the Electronic Frontier Foundation, they have agreed that Yelp and other review sites are not journalists. Rate Beer, they're not journalists. So this is not a conflict.
Brouhaha with her, Linda and Mark Carpenter, and our buddy who's back with us, homebrew chef Sean Paxton. And Brouhaha is the Hop Monk Brouhaha. And today our guest, along with my co-hosts, Herlinda and Mark Carpenter, more than 40 years brewing at Anchor in San Francisco.
And I'm enjoying
so
beer for all those years,
exactly.
And long before.
He's now retired. He rides his horses around his Petaluma Ranch, and he's happy. Except on Thursdays when he has to drive through the traffic to get to here.
It's not too bad.
Okay, good.
And we're drinking a good beer today.
Talk about that.
Well, we're drinking a couple beers. The one we're drinking right now is from Matt Brindelson of Firestone Walker, who I think is a fabulous brewmaster. Yeah. Makes some great beers. And this is one that he does with a mix of hops from the West Coast and then West Coast hops that are being grown in Michigan. And Matt likes
my home state.
Yep. Yeah, you go. And it's a pretty good-sized hop farm there these days, by the way.
I'm
think
not
it's
surprised.
Like 500 acres. And Matt likes this because he feels it gives a sense of terroir, which in the wine world you're familiar with. That the hop grown in Michigan is going to taste differently than the hop grown in Oregon or Washington State.
Right.
And it's a great pale ale. I would have to really taste it. The same pale ale made with all West Coast hops to tell a real right. difference to my taste. But it's a great pale ale. I wouldn't hesitate to recommend this. It's called Lompoc Distortion. It's number 006.
I think it's Luponic Distortion.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, what did I say?
Yeah, Luponic.
Luponic Distortion.
Which is where the 006. Hop name comes from, Lupon.
So the next one will be the James Bond series.
Nice.
and this is Paso Robles.
Yes, Paso Robles. Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of Michigan and hops and beer, quickly, because I don't want to run out of time talking to Sean here, but
Bells.
We had on Jess...
Valerie
yesterday, a great local beer writer, to talk about the fact that Pliny the Elder from Russian River Brewing, after 8 years at being number one on this...
Zymergy.
This magazine / website, 8 years of being the number one beer in the country, fell to number two, and again, Michigan... Kalamazoo, Bell's, is it Bell's?
Yeah,
Bell's Brewery.
They now have the number one beer after 8 years.
Which is also a phenomenal brewery.
Which
I mean,
is funny.
I will say.
That's what I've heard. And they've been
really
around a long
friends.
Time.
Yeah, and they're like best friends or something.
Are you familiar? Yes.
I am. And they're certainly all good beers. And as we've said a few times on this show, you know, with 5,000 breweries out there, how do you become the best beer? If to those who haven't been to Bell's, I wouldn't worry about it. If you're drinking a local beer that you like, it may be just as good. And
they've just done some pretty major expansions in the last couple of years. And, you know, John Mallett over there is so analytical, and I love his thinking, you know, because he's definitely done an amazing job with the beers over there, too. And
he has.
And we can't get Bell's here yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, that's what Jess said. Yeah,
they pulled out of a lot of markets to scale back just to Michigan.
But they're more... available, according to Jess yesterday, than Russian River and Pliny is.
Yeah.
And
well,
they make
Pliny's
a lot
still
more.
fairly, I think, is much smaller.
Yeah, it's just a few.
Well, the brewery is.
Yeah.
I mean, the brewery just outside of
Kalamazoo.
I mean, it's Comstock. But what's interesting is that I think they're making like 350,000 barrels a year now.
It's a big
brewery.
They're
up there. And, you know, Russian River makes, what, 30, 40?
Yeah. I mean,
it's different demographics.
That'll change, though, right, when Vinny and Natalie move to the new place?
I think they're hoping for it.
I'm calling it Beer Disneyland around the world when I tell people where I live.
We were over there a month or so ago at their Santa Rosa office, not at the... At Russian River, but they're where
the production brewery.
Production brewery, thank you. And they showed us all the stuff on the computers. You know what it's going to look like. In Windsor.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
It is. It's going to be beer Disneyland. Yeah, it's very well done.
Yeah. They'll be on again when it gets a little bit closer. I'm giving them kind of a break.
Yeah,
from...
they're clever people. It'll be nice.
Sean Paxton is with us again. He's the homebrew chef. Beer hot sauce. Okay. Now, you brought some.
I did.
What do I do?
I'm just going to try it.
A little dab.
I'll tell you if it's going to be too hot.
Okay.
Take a smell. It's got a great aroma.
Yeah, just smell it.
Ooh, it's got a bite. Whoop, whoop.
Oh, the smell is great.
Isn't that fabulous?
I'm going to have to stick with the smell.
Yeah.
In case my doctor is listening, but.
Oh, my God.
So how did you make this, dude?
So this is made with Anderson Valley's Oatmeal Stout, their Barley Flats, which is also a great example of an oatmeal stout. Fal Allen of Anderson Valley, their brewmaster, has been a great friend of mine for a long time.
He's amazing.
South America 3 times now, and we've done Boonville all these times, and it's been fun to know him and see him around the world together. But I've always loved his beer, and Cal Ferris from Humboldt Hot Sauce and I, we kind of at Boonville last year, we talked about doing a collaboration for a hot sauce, and we really wanted to do something different, and we really thought it would be important to use Anderson Valley's beer since we kind of came up with the idea right there. But so this is our first hot sauce, and we wanted to use quality ingredients and really make something outside of just a hot sauce, because the one thing I struggle with most hot sauces on the market are that either they're too vinegar and acid, or they're too spicy and it's just all about burning your palate.
Which I hate.
And I wanted this balance, and I wanted to also be an ingredient, and I also wanted it to be a way that it could almost be like a steak sauce because it has so many other things going on in it.
Well,
so,
just from smelling it, yes, I could see putting that on a steak. I could see also, and I'm very anti super hot.
Yeah, and it is like on a scale of 1 to 10, it's about a 6 to a 7. Okay. Some people have told me it's a 2, and other people tell me it's a 10. So I mean, it's all palate.
But I could see taking some ribs.
A little bit of rub on this.
And just a little bit of this for a wimp like me and barbecuing it on the grill. That I can understand.
But actually, if you take Anderson Valley's oatmeal stout, like 12 ounces, and you put a tablespoon of that into it, it totally tones it down. And then 2 teaspoons of salt, and now you can use that as a marinade for any grilling or braising.
Thinking brisket.
I can totally see that.
Yeah, and absolutely. You could even take it. So what I like is you'd actually take a whole pork butt and actually braise it in a Dutch oven with a lid on it.
You know, a lot of people around here call me a pork butt.
Oh, wow.
I love them anyway. No, that's really cool.
So we're just starting to get into the local market here.
Are there going to be other varieties?
Yes. This is the first of many because the reception of this hot sauce has been pretty outstanding. Yeah. So,
and it's available?
We're getting 5 stars. So right now it's just at the Sonoma Spice Queen over in Petaluma in Mark's neck of the woods. But we do also have it online. So at eatbeerhotsauce.com.
What about Anderson Valley Brewery?
Actually, Anderson Valley Brewery, it's there, and we're just starting to get into some other stores. We're working some deals right now, and the whole politics of getting your sauce on a shelf, it's not exactly as easy. It doesn't matter how good it is.
I know
it's,
some people.
But this is where we're working right now, but we can do online sales, and we can mail it to you, and it's a great gift. It's a great thing for the summer and all the different things you might grill or tacos. Put it in hollandaise. Put this in a Bloody Mary. And I swear, it is insane.
That I
in
could see.
In hollandaise over, like,
I could
you know,
see that.
Over eggs. I mean, it's
as a spice wimp,
crazy.
I wouldn't put much, but most of the people I know are not spice wimps, and the hotter the better. So I can see this.
And I purposely didn't go too hot, even though we do use the Carolina Reaper, which Ed Curry is the creator of that. So it's 2.2 million Scoville units. So it's
no thanks.
Pretty up there. But then we tone it down with a lot of other flavors. There's like 30 ingredients, just like you would with a mole.
And I can see mixing it with other beer. And, you know, beer
you
and
actually
barbecue.
Put it in beer, even like in hot chocolate. As weird as it sounds, like two drops, and
chocolate.
It totally does that Mexican hot chocolate. And
wow.
I mean, this is where it's fun because
my daughter's vegetarian and she
and this
loves
is vegan,
spicy
actually.
Hot sauce.
This is a vegan,
it's vegan.
Sauce.
Okay, good.
So.
Because I could see actually even marinating a little bit of tofu.
Oh, yeah. Seriously.
And grilling it.
This Mark
with
Carpenter.
Tofu or tempeh.
Yes,
Mark,
sir.
What are you tasting now?
Oh, now we've got a second beer from Matt Vendelson. This is developed. They now have a brew pub in Venice Beach, and this was developed in their Venice Beach brew pub because they can do smaller batches, and it's called Leo versus Ursus and Fortum.
So Leo's the lion, and Ursus is like Ursus Major is the bear, like in the North
David
Star.
David Walker.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's Firestone Walker.
Yes.
Is the brewery.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
One being Leo and one being Ursus.
Super duper hot David Walker of Firestone Walker. And then Firestone, like the tires. And then they did the brewery. But you know what? They got sold to Orval. Out of Belgium.
Well, no, not did Orval. They? Duval Morgott.
It was Duval.
Yes, okay. Yes.
You know, I always think of Charles Finkel.
Do you like this?
Thing.
Yes, I do. This is a higher in alcohol, and this is the type of beers that you want a brew pub is because you can do small batches. This is going to appeal to a smaller segment of the society, but it's still a great beer, and you can experiment. Anchor actually is building a brew pub.
It's about time.
It's about time. You're right. I've been hoping for this for a long, long time.
And in San Francisco.
Right near the brewery, right across the street. And
cool.
It's not going to be open for a while. But they're finally doing it, and I couldn't be happier because...
it's going to be huge.
Yeah, it should be. It should be. Because Anchor has an awful lot of good beers, and you'll be able to come to the brewery and drink it. And then they'll be doing many experimental beers, too.
And, Anchor, there's very few craft breweries that are as iconic as Anchor. And
you started
there in 72 and just recently 71. Retired.
Yeah.
Married in 72.
Yeah.
Started Anchor in 71.
We got just a couple minutes left. The Hop Monk Drive Brewhaha. Homebrew chef Sean Paxton is back with us. And, of course, my co-hosts, Herlinda and Mark Carpenter, many years with, over 40 years with Anchor in San Francisco. I'm so glad to hear you guys, you're still part of it, even though you're retired.
Well, I mean, it's hard to get it out of your system,
Hell yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm so proud of what they're doing right now.
They're going to open finally. It seems like it should have been a long time ago to me. But
yes, now, I agree 100%.
Open a brew pub, an Anchor brew pub near the brewery. Sean Paxton, the homebrew chef. We talked about your beer hot sauce. This is really cool. It's what's the website again?
Eatbeerhotsauce.com and also homebrewchef.com.
Yeah. Right.
And that's where my online cookbook is. And so if you guys are looking for brisket done in an ancho chili rub all the way through to beer brine chicken, which is awesome on the barbecue.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
All these different, like a beer mustard, potato salad. I mean, I have tons of menus. There's tons of recipes. It's actually a scalable each recipe is scalable as well as convertible, and there's a whole shopping list.
When you do the beer brine chicken, do you do with the beer can where you stick the can up its butt and then put it on the grill?
You can do that afterwards, but first I brine it in beer and water and salt and some other herbs and spices and vegetables in there to really get a really fully flavored chicken, and then to grill it. And there's all the beer styles on there and pairing suggestions and then also other ways to use it because...
All right. Again, you got to... It's summer now, officially.
It's time. Get your beer on.
Check this cookbook out. Again, the websites?
Homebrewchef.com as well as eatbeerhotsauce.com. And you can order the hot sauce there. If you love mole, that's what's really fun to me is that...
I do love mole.
I mean... You can use this like 12 ounces of oatmeal stout, put a tablespoon of this into it, and then 2 teaspoons of salt, and then you have a marinade. There's actually recipes on the websites, too, that use it. You can put it into mayonnaise. You use that as a spread for a burger with some caramelized onions. Now you have a mole burger.
All right, I'm starving now. Mark Carpenter from Anchor, Herlinda, and our good friend Sean Paxton, the homebrew chef.